I'm Lizzie the Lazy and I'm out and proud. I'm Lizzie the Lazy, let's shout it out loud. I'm Lizzie the Lazy, just sing it with me. I'm Lizzie the Lazy and I like pussy. Hello. In case you need reminding, I'm a lesbian. You can call me a lesbo or a dyke if you like, I don't mind. Or a muff muncher, hehe. There's even a definition for coming out. The process by which a lesbian person acknowledges her sexual identity to herself and then proceeds to tell others about it. They make it sound so simple. Mum, Dad, I have acknowledged my sexual identity to myself and now I want to tell you that I'm a muff muncher! It wouldn't go down very well. Mind you, I suppose nothing goes down very well. Except me on someone else's daughter.
You know, this is gay comedy, though. Have you seen gay comedy before? So, you know, gay comedy's different from straight comedy. You know? It's just a teen, it's a smidge, you know? It's like, you know, straight comedy's like, good evening, ladies and germs. Take my wife, please. I'm like, okay. Somebody's gotta do it. It might as well be me. What the hell? But it is different. We go, good evening, dykes. Good evening, fags. All right, well, maybe you guys can scream louder, but we can scream more often. An important distinction. You know? And I'm from San Francisco, at least that's where I live now. And in San Francisco, we have the gay parade, and at the start of the gay parade, they have Dykes on Bikes, which is totally fabulous. But this year, I started my own contingent, Dykes on Dykes. We didn't make it to the parade, you know? But we didn't care, you know? And now also something else making me mad. If you watch the news and stuff, you know, it's like somebody goes, they commit a crime, they become a celebrity. Somebody goes, they're a celebrity, they commit a crime, they become a bigger celebrity. And it's like, what is this all about? People are getting away with murder, you know? And I think what we should have is celebrity justice. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, we should sort of work it out among them. And that would be just. Like that woman, you know, Susan Smith, she killed her kids. She should have to adopt the Menendez brothers. Are you with me? I'm talking justice. Okay. O.J. Simpson should have to marry Lorena Bobbitt. That would be just.
Thank you. It's a wet, warm place to park my face. Fill me up and take me for a ride. I'm a disgrace, but I like what lies in your eyes, blue eyes. So take me home, do exactly as you please. It ain't hard being easy. Not for a hungry girl like me. No, it ain't hard being easy. And I don't care.
This is J.D. Doyle, and welcome to Queer Music Heritage and Part 3 of Those Funny Lesbians. It's my salute to lesbian comedy, and I open with another episode of Lizzie the Lezzie, the animated creation of Ruth Solin. And I followed Lizzie with Susie Berger, who was one of the four comics featured on the 1999 album Gay from Las Vegas. And after that, an act from the UK, the Well-Oiled Sisters. I wish they would have released more than two albums, but I'm glad to have them. From their 1994 CD, Alcohol and Tears, that was It Ain't Hard Being Easy. On part one of this show, I introduced you to Ivy Bettini and promised you an interview with her. And I almost didn't do the interview. I had more than enough material for this show, but I just felt I would not be doing a responsible job if I didn't at least try to contact her. Well, I'm so glad she agreed to talk with me, as it was a delight. For those of you who may not be listening to these shows in one sitting, let me refresh. Ivy Bettini, who just turned 83 in August, is a longtime activist. Just to scratch the surface, she helped found the first chapter of the National Organization for Women, and in 1969 she designed their logo. She founded the first AIDS organization in Los Angeles and has been active in many other community services over the years. And, as you heard in part one, she did comedy.
During what time span, I mean, what years, did you do stand-up comedy?
Seriously, between March 74 and 79. Into the very early 80s.
When did you start doing openly lesbian material in your comedy?
In 74.
Right off the bat?
Uh-huh.
Okay. What was the reception to that?
Fine. I never had any problem. Never had any problem at all. I played mostly in the first couple of years, I played mostly to feminist conventions, chapters of Now. I went on two road tours with my then accompanist. One was a 6-week road tour and the other was a 9-week road tour, and we were doing pretty much, you know, driving and, you know, every night doing a show or every afternoon doing a show.
Did you change your material at all based on the audience?
No.
Okay.
One of the things that happened with my comedy, I talk very much about the gynecologist visit and birth control and menstruation and inserting the first Tampax. And I mean, I was the first one to talk about that stuff, the very first one. It was really funny because the women would come to see my show. And then the next night, because I usually played twice, they'd bring their daughters. It was like this lesbian health course.
Well, I've listened to a lot of lesbian comedy working on this show. Almost everybody talks about those subjects now.
Yes, but nobody talked about them back then.
I understand from reading about you that you had some problems with the National Organization of Women.
For women.
Yeah, for women.
Yeah, they forced me out because I introduced the issue of lesbianism into the movement. I did a panel in 1969. And the panel was, Is Lesbianism a Feminist Issue? And that was the first time that the word lesbian had been spoken out loud in the movement, if not the first time that it was ever spoken in the movement. And it was a great panel. There were 15, including myself. And of all of those people, there were only two lesbians on the panel. And the place was packed. There were like, oh God, over 300 people came. It was packed. After it was over, and when the feedback started to come back, they thought everybody was a lesbian on the panel, because otherwise, why would you want to talk about it?
Do you think your lesbian comedy contributed to the backlash you got?
No, because I wasn't doing my comedy until after they forced me out. I was kind of like the first lesbian purged out of the National Organization for Women. And that was in 70, I was in late 70.
And who else was doing lesbian comedy the years when you were doing it?
Nobody that I know of, in the beginning.
Did you see folks like Maxine Feldman or Robin Tyler?
Oh, Maxine Feldman was a very, very good friend of mine. And I was the one that introduced her into the entertainment world in the movement in 1974. When I did my first routine, it was called Women for Women. And it was a 7-week series at Town Hall in New York. And they asked me to be one of the acts on opening night. And I had met Maxine when I was living out here in California. And I went back home in very late 73, almost in November 73, because I was sick. I went back to the East Coast. And that's when they contacted me, now, the National Organization for Women, the New York chapter. They contacted me and said, we hear you have a show. And I didn't. I had been studying out here with Strasberg, studying improv and comedy. And I didn't, but I said, yeah, I do. And so they asked me to be an opening night, along with Blossom Dearie and Joan Hackett and Tammy Grimes, and I can't remember who else. There were about seven of us. And I said that I wanted to bring this woman in who was a singer-songwriter who lived in California that I knew when I was here. And so I flew Maxine in, and she actually opened for me. She did, I think, two songs. That was, how I introduced her into the movement. And then in New York, when I flew her in, she stayed, and she lived with my then partner, Mary Carroll, and I for a year. We all lived in the same apartment uptown in New York City.
You're the ones that she talks about in the song Come Out of the Closet.
Yes. Yeah.
Wonderful. I interviewed her a few years ago, and she was a terrific interview.
I mean, she was an integral, can't say the word, part of my life. One night when we were all living in New York, there was the first feminist restaurant was down in Greenwich Village on West 11th. It was called Mother Courage, and it was during the streaking era. And Maxine and Mary Carolyn and I, we drove down there. And she stripped in the back of my little Volkswagen Bug and streaked Mother Courage, and it was hysterical. Because it wasn't a big place. And I knew she was coming in. Mary Carroll and I went in ahead of her. And we knew it was going to happen. She was moving so fast, my eyes kept missing her, I was always a beat behind her. And she ran into the kitchen, turned around, and ran back out. It was amazing.
I get the impression that she was quite a character.
Oh, yeah, she was. She was. I just adored Maxine.
I never got to meet her in person, but that phone interview I had was just like I knew her.
Uh-huh.
It just felt like I knew her.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's the kind of person she was. Very open. Nothing was hidden.
And that interview is the perfect introduction to Maxine Feldman. I wanted to put this next track on part one of this show, as it's so packed full of history. But then I would have had to edit the language in it, and I wanted you to get the full effect of the comedy and singing of Maxine Feldman. Sadly, Maxine passed away in August of 2007. I'm playing a cut from her 1979 album, Closet Sale, and I got to hear her sing it at the 1979 March on Washington. And even better, in 2002, I got to interview Maxine. And when we get to the song, if you pay close attention to her introduction, you'll hear her mention Mary Carroll and Ivy. The Ivy was Ivy Bettini. So here's a clip of Maxine talking about the song, Closet Sale. Tell me about Closet Sale. I love that song.
Oh, me too. I like that too. It was my way of just being playful with people to come out of the closet, you know? I used to do a whole rap of humor, but it was just a way of using a four-letter word without using a curse word and telling people to come on out. Come on out. It's okay. But I never out somebody, because I think coming out is a personal issue and a personal, you know, response. I may know who's queer, you know, in the quote showbiz community or whatever, but I figure in time they'll out themselves. But to me, that song was always to, you know, to anyone, no matter where they were, to come out of the closet. Because the only thing that should be in your closet is clothes. You shouldn't be living your life in the closet. The more of us that come out, the more rights we get, or the more volume that we have, and not only in sound, but volume as in bulk in number. And numbers count. That song I always love. It's fun to play, it's fun to sing, and of course getting the audience to say their favorite four-letter word, come, 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 come.
I have a few questions to ask. Have any of you ever been a single person living with another couple? Is that not boring, right? Well, not that I'm... Now, don't call me a coupleist or a coupleism or whatever. I have been in both situations, single and going with somebody. But I found when I was living with another couple that when I would try to watch television, they would be on the couch going, I love you, I love you. And you're trying to watch a program, and you're horny too. You try to get yourself a glass of milk out of the refrigerator, and they're up against it again, right? There is no way of getting around them. Well, one night, when I was living with a couple called Mary Carol and Ivy out in Los Angeles, California, I came home from a gig, and the place was dark. There was no... Shh, shh, thank you. The place was very dark, so I flipped on the switch, and I saw this little... It was like something over the switch, and I said, what the hell is going on here? Finally, I got the switch on, and you know how tacky we all are when we first get together with someone, right? I mean, we've all done this. We walk through the woods, and we find a weed, and we get down on our knees with this weed, and we pick it up from the ground. We say, this is our weed. Right? There's a million rocks on the P-Town beach, and when we walk along it, it's our rock! Anyway, there I was. I came home, and there was this note on the wall. And the note said, you turn me on. Right. No tacky, right? So I went to the bathroom to throw up. Now, there was a note in saran wrap on the toilet seat that said, no shit, I love you. Now, having a little Virgo in me, a little lint monster that picks and cleans up, I went to hang up my coat in the closet. And there was a note on the closet door that said, come out of the closet and love me. I said, Mary, Carol, and Ivy, I'll get you for this. So I wrote the following song. I'd love you to sing the chorus with me. It is a word that we write a lot about, like to do a lot, sometimes can't do, wish we could do. We spend so much time with this four-letter word, it is unbelievable. All right. A lot of tittering in this audience. That's one of my favorite images. You know that, Lori? A room full of titters. You're not singing.
Come, 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 come. Come, 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 come. Come, 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 come. Come, 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 come. Come, 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 come.
Wait a minute. Now just wait a minute. I don't hear you in the back. You are not coming in the back. Now, for the first time in our lives in a lesbian and gay pride thing, let's see if we can come together. All right? Come out of the closet and love me. Come out of the closet. Be free. Come, 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 come out of the closet. I know it's a dark in there. So come out, away with the scream and shout and see everybody everywhere. The whoops are wonderful, but where's the come? I do a clean act. Aren't you getting tired? I'm behind the clothes rack. Aren't you getting tired of those people on your back? I realize your freedom starts when you free your head. So come out with a scream and shout, and let's hang those others up instead. If you need some reassurance, not alone anymore. Take a peek at what you see through the closet door. Singing with me now. You haven't felt this good since you don't know when. Well, let's find another closet and start this tacky song again.
Come, come, come,
come out of the closet.
Come, 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 come.
And love me.
Come, 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 come.
Come out of the closet.
Come, 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 come.
Be free.
Come, 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 come,
come out of the closet. I know it's dark in there. So come out with a scream and shout and see everybody everywhere. It's been a pleasure coming with you.
Young, I was dumb, and I was queer.
She was queer.
I was a teenage lesbian, dying to dive into sin.
She was
so set on my fate, I could hardly wait. Of course, I didn't know where to begin. Too young by a year to buy a beer. I drove around all the bars. No hope for me without a fake ID. I never Alas, it seemed as though I was destined never to find my dream. But then a light came from above. I bought a ball and a glove.
softball team. So, 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 softball. Softball team. So, 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 softball. Softball team. So, 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 softball. I awoke to the sound of a moan. I put my arms out in the air. I smelled the scent of your cologne. I reached for you, then felt despair. Oh, I should have known you weren't really there. I was lying all alone, me and my wet underwear. I've got wet underwear. Now you know how much I really care. Sometimes life seems so unfair. There's so much moisture we could share. But all I get is wet underwear. Every time I see you standing there, looking so sexy and debonair, giving me wet underwear. To see you walk in through the door, you don't know what it really means. To watch you move across the floor, it means you make me cream my jeans. Oh, then you look at me, your gaze so hot I can hardly watch. And long before my eyes are set free, I feel a waterfall in my crotch. I've got wet underwear. Now you know how much I really care. Sometimes life seems so unfair. There's so much moisture we could share. But all I get is wet underwear. Every time I see you standing there, looking so sexy and debonair, giving me wet underwear. Let me show you my devotion. It's just pouring out of me. My lust could fill an ocean or a small inland sea. I wish I was wiser, but I feel just like a fool. My love mound is a geyser. Come swim with me in my pool. I've got wet underwear, and I just put on a freshly laundered pair. This lust is more than I can bear. I'm getting new curls in my pubic hair. Someday I hope you'll hear my prayer. I'd meet you any day, anytime, anywhere. With all the love juice I can prepare. Me and my wet underwear. Me and my wet underwear.
Sit on my face and tell me that you love me. I'll sit on your face and tell you I love you too. I love to hear you moralize when I'm between your thighs. You blow me away. Sit on my face and let my lips embrace you. I'll sit on your face and then I'll love you truly. Life can be fine when we're both 69. So we'll sit on our faces in all sorts of places and play till we're blown away. Sit on my face and tell me that you love me. I'll sit on your face and tell you I love you too. I love to hear you moralize when I'm between your thighs. You blow me away.
sit on my face and let my lips embrace you. I'll sit on your face and then I'll love you truly. Life can be fine when we're both 69. So we'll sit on our faces and all sorts of places and play till we're blown away.
Nothing like good harmony, right? After Maxine Feldman was Judy Fell and I Was a Teenage Lesbian from her 1993 album Best of Times. And then you heard the group Dicapella. I took Wet Underwear from their only commercial release, At the Gates of Heaven. That was from 1998 and is a wonderful album. But years ago, one of the members sent me a recording of their farewell concert from 2001. So you got to hear the very unreleased song, Sit on My Face. Up next, more sex talk, this time from Michelle Ballin from her 1999 CD, Neurotic by Nature.
It's hard being a lesbian. You guys are lucky. And you guys, you know what? The gay men have the world. It's true. Because I'll tell you why. Like, whenever I go to a gay resort, all you guys have those little sordid places to go to. You know, like Fire Island, you have the meat rack. In Provincetown, it's the dick dock. Us ladies, we don't even have a cabbage patch. You know, there's a lot of segregation in the gay community, too. You know, I don't like that. You know, I don't like to be called a lesbian. How come it's like gay men and lesbians? Right? Why can't it be gay men and gay women? Or lesbians and lesbiandies. What do you think? You guys should be lesbiandies. Not fair, I tell you. And it's easier. You guys, you know, you meet somebody in 2 minutes. You guys could do that. See, you can have those little sordid places. You could do a quickie. Could you imagine a lesbian doing a quickie? By the time we find out how many ex-lovers we have, all our character defects, then we got to cuddle in there. Forget it. The seasons would change in the Cabbage Patch. Dating women, though, see, being with another woman, we all think we know it all. Like this one woman I was dating, she kept saying to me, you have a fear of intimacy. I said, I let you in the house, didn't I? So I think I'll just stay single. That's what I'll do. But you know what's so bad? We all lie to each other, like my last lover lied to me. You know why? Because when I first met her, I'm allergic to cats. When I first met, she had a cat. When we first met, she'd vacuum every night. Changed the sheets, wouldn't let the cat in the bedroom. 6 months later, fucking cat sleeping on my head. I'm spitting up hairballs. We'd be in bed, it'd be the cat and the two dogs. We'd be having sex. I'm like, who's coming? You with a shih tzu. I don't know. Sex is a weird thing too, though, isn't it? Like, especially if you've been in a long-term relationship, which I was once, back in 1920. And I didn't know they had safe sex products for women. I swear, I'm like, I don't know where I was. But I get in bed with this woman, she puts on a glove. I'm like, you're gonna do the dishes now? I said, well, why you have the glove dust? It's dirty in here. She said to me, I'd like to spoon you. I said, I'd rather you fork me, to be honest, really. This is the best. She was down here. Look at me like I'm an old Jew. She was down here in my private part. This is where I become the old Jew from Miami. She was down here. I swear this never happened to me. She said to me, you smell so fresh. I said, I should. I have a woman coming twice a week. You guys have been a fabulous audience. Thank you so much.
Well, this song is really, I think, a very significant song because I don't think a song has ever been written on this particular subject before. And I think it's high time that somebody wrote a song about this woman, because this woman has had, I think, one of the most important roles in the molding of young women's minds of any group of women, except maybe the camp counselor. Let us not discount the importance of the camp counselor.
There is one I think that surpasses even that. And that is the gym teacher. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, the gym teacher. I hardly know what to say. I hardly know which gym teacher to pick to tell you about. Well, there was one, though. There was one who had a very special place in my heart. And she was my eighth grade gym teacher. Her name was Miss Berger. Miss Berger, are you there? Miss Berger. It still yet makes my heart go pitter-pat to think about Miss Berger. I was notorious in the school for my adoration for Miss Berger. But it was okay then because I was, you know, what are you in the eighth grade? You're 13, 14. It's a phase, you know? And so it's okay. I have to tell you a story that is a perfect example of my feelings for Miss Berger and the way everyone reacted to them. Miss Berger had to teach hygiene every 6 weeks, you know? They take you out of the, you know, off the court and into the classrooms and make you, you know, take hygiene, and nobody likes it. Miss Berger didn't like it. We didn't like it. But she used to get pretty excited about various aspects of hygiene. She had this baby blue ruler. Whenever she got real excited, she'd start whamming on the desk, you know, with this ruler. One day she was getting real worked up about something. And she went whomp on the desk, and I was sitting about two rows back. It was as close as I could get in the rush for front row seats. And she went wham, and half of that baby blue ruler went flying into the air and landed somewhere a few rows away on the floor. And without a moment's notice, I leapt up out of my seat and went crawling on arms and knees over to that ruler. And everybody's going... <You know? laughs> And just as I was reaching out to get it, Betsy Norfleet snatched it up and put it in her pocketbook. And she sold it to me the next day for $1.50. That's a true story. Could have gotten five. So anyway, here's this song about my gym teacher. It's called Ode to a Gym Teacher. She was a big, tough woman, the first to come along. It showed me being female meant you still could be strong. And though graduation meant that we had to part, she'll always be a player on the ball field of my heart. I wrote her name on my notepad and I inked it on my dress. And I etched it on my locker and I carved it on my desk. And I painted big red hearts with her initials on the books. And I never knew till later why I got those funny looks. She was a big tough woman, the first to come along, that showed me being female meant you still could be strong. And though graduation meant that we had to, she'll always be a player on the ball field of my heart. Well, in gym class, while the others talked of boys that they loved, I'd be thinking of new aches and pains a teacher had to rub. And while other girls went to the prom, I languished by the phone, calling up and hanging up if I found out she was home. She was a big time woman, the first to come along, that showed me being female.
everything. A new chain for her whistle and some daisies in the spring. Some suggestive points for Christmas by Miss Edna Millay. And a lacy, lacy, lacy card for Valentine's Day. Unsigned, of course. She was a big-time woman. Sticks to teacher like a leaf sticks to a tree. One girl who runs the errands and who chases all the balls. One girl who may grow up to be the gayest of all.
Of course, that's Mae Christian and the classic Ode to a Gym Teacher. And that was the long version, which included the intro, which you'll only find on Meg's 1974 album, I Know You Know, the first album released by Olivia Records. That version is not available on any of the CD reissues of her material.
Turn that TV on, ya. I get a fever that's so hard to bear. I'm watching Beaver on the TV, Channel 22 Delight. Beaver!
Beaver!
In the morning, Beaver all through the night. Beaver, Beaver. Some of you dig Brother Wally. Some get off on good old Ward. But I get hot when I see Mama June posing by her ironing board. Oh, Mrs. Cleaver. So good-natured, perfect mother. What a wife. Beaver!
Beaver!
In the morning, Beaver all through the night. Baby Cleaver fever. I confess that I love Lucy. You know it's not a crime. But oh, it hurts to know that Ethel Mertz monopolizes all her time. I'm watching reruns on the TV, Channel 22 Delight. Beaver!
Beaver!
In the morning, Beaver all through the night. Beaver, Beaver, fever. Every night I dream of Jeannie, or that wacky harem queen. If I be granted just one wish, I'd be the master in my genie dream. I'm watching reruns on the TV, Channel 22 Delight. Beaver!
Beaver!
In the morning, Beaver all through the night. Beaver, 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 Beaver.
Bum, 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 bum.
he flirts with danger. Mr. Spock's a Vulcan brain. But my lieutenant is Uhura. I'm in a time warp when I hear her name. I'm watching reruns on the TV, Channel 22 Delight. Beaver!
Beaver!
In the morning, beaver all through the night. Beaver, beaver, fever.
One of the historic funny groups, Venus Envy. From their 1990 six-song cassette tape, Unarmed and Dangerous, that was Beaver Cleaver Fever. That's the group that gave us the classic album I'll Be a Homo for Christmas, and was comprised of Laura Love, Linda Shireman, Linda Sievert, and Lisa Koch. And I've been a big fan of Lisa's for many years. Besides being one half of the comedy duo Dos Fallopia, Lisa Koch has released several wonderful albums that contain, besides great music, lots of humor. Like the title track from her 1995 album, You Make My Pants Pound.
The night I met you, it was midnight. The drive-up window had a light. I heard your voice come through the speaker. You said, can I take your order? How about some fries? I got a tingling in my body as I drove up to the window like a shot. And as you handed me that Whopper, you touched my hand and smiled and you said, careful now, it's hot. You make my pelvis and is throbbing in my heart. You make my pants pound. What can I do? And I'm losing all my fluids over you. Into my special spots, and now you've got my panties in a wad. This sweating, drooling, panting, oozing feeling is either chemical or I've seen God. I try to speak and sound just like Mel Tillis. This infatuation's driving me insane, but now my crotch is in a spasm. And all my fluids over you. You make my pants pound. What a surprise. Cupid shot a dart and hit me right between the knees. You make my pants pound. What can I do? And I'm losing all my fluids over you. And I'm losing all my fluids. Oh, 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 over you. Woo!
Oh, hickey. At the picture show. In the back seat. What a way to go. I was out with Vicky. She's my makeout queen. Just a quickie. It happened oh so fast. And now I see a memory that will last. I'm not too picky about the shape or the size. And the biggest technical wins a prize. Says it's icky. I told her where to go. Study hall is all she'll ever know. It's gonna be real tricky to get a treat tonight. Oh God, what the heck am I gonna do with this big old fat unsightly passion bite?
We don't know, we don't know. La 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 la.
Guess I'll wear a pink dickie until it fades away. Then have another date on Saturday. Oh yes, I got a hickey at the picture show.
You Make My Pants Pound, it just seemed right to play Hickey from Lisa's 1991 release, Colorblind Blues. Back in 2001, I asked Lisa to tell me about a track from her album, Both of Me, as I just love the song, I Won't Survive the Festival.
Okay. I Won't Survive the Festival is really about women's music festivals. I've been to many over the years, and what I've observed is that, couples will come, partners will come, and one partner loves the festival, loves digging in the dirt, loves camping out, loves the bland food, loves everything about it. And the other partner could really give a rip, would rather be at a 5-star hotel somewhere warm. And it's just so funny to watch these women who never wanted to come to the festival in the first place. They get convinced to come along by their partners at least once. And you can spot them. You can spot them miles away in a crowd. They don't want to be there. They're not having a good time. And so this song was written for those women who never wanted to come to the festival in the first place.
First I was afraid. I was petrified. I knew I'd made it all these years because I'd simply lied. When someone said, were you at Michigan? I'd smile and say, uh-huh, but that was wrong. See, I never heard folk songs, now I'm here. A festival. There's lots of lesbians wearing cotton and the porta potty's full. I should have never said I'd come. We could have gone to Waikiki. Now I'm stuck inside this teeny tiny tent with no TP. Go on now, go. You have your fun. I'll be here waiting in the freaking scorching sun. Weren't you the one who said the food was mighty swell? Didn't you think I'd notice? Ha! There's no beef now, I'm in hell. Oh God, oh why? I can't survive. And if I hear another drumming circle, someone's gonna die. I've seen less leather titty bears, and I've seen braided pubic hairs. I can't survive. I can't survive. Hey,
hey. She can't survive. She's traumatized. We sympathize. She can't survive.
It took all the strength I had not to fall apart when I discovered that the shower's in the parking lot. Oh, I spent so many nights wandering round and round the crafts. I don't know why, but I just went and bought a vibrator for me in case I'm bored. I'll be here diddling in the tent while you go shake a gourd. Oh, I miss my VCR and my big bed and central heat. Now I'm fighting off mosquitoes and I need a piece of meat. Oh God, oh why I can't survive. And if I hear just one more song of angst, I think I'm gonna cry. I'll do anything you ask. I'll get a tattoo on my ass. Just let me drive. I can't survive. I can't survive.
Back When We Had Sex is, it's about, any of those relationships that I'll say probably longer than, you know, 4 or 5 years, where you just, you know, you just don't do it as often. And, especially in the lesbian world, there's that myth of, well, it's maybe it's not a myth about the lesbian bed death. So I just decided to write a song about, you know, long-term couples who have been together for a while, and you know, they have to work at it, but they remember back to when they had that that wonderful stuff.
Back when we had sex, you'd call out my name, like Jesus or God or things more profane. Now you just call out for pizza at night, and your parts down below seem to be watertight. Back when we had sex, we had lots of fun, with handcuffs and leather, dressing up like a nun. Now the remote spends more time on your lap than I do. Back when we had sex, I can't quite recall our last carnal embrace. It's been a long time since you sat on my couch. Up like a jockey no more. I miss that saddle, but I miss you more. I remember the nights you tied me in bed and read Dr. Seuss while you Cool Whipped my head. Sometimes we'd watch Barbarella instead. Back when we had sex, Crisco and summer squash, hot monkey sex. You were the stewardess, I was Captain Don. You strapped me in while I strapped it on. There's probably just a little too much information. I remember those nights, they're still in my mind, 'cause we've been together a long, long ass time. Maybe tonight we could stay up till 9. Back when we had sex. Oh, back when we had sex. I need a cigarette.
Yes, back when we had sex. I just can't get enough of Lisa Koch, so I played a song from each of her 4 solo albums, finishing with one from her latest, the 2006 album, Tall Cool Drink. And you heard Lisa sing about women's festivals. That's where I'm starting off this routine by Karen Williams.
All right. is fantastic. Thank you so much. I am so happy to be here because I'm in Los Angeles. I'm in a club. I could be at one of those women's festivals, huh? We could be camping, couldn't we, girls? And you know how much we hate that camping shit, don't we? Even though camping is the national sport of lesbians, we know this, don't we? I don't know what it is, I have to tell you. I hate camping. Why? Because I'm a New Yorker. And we don't call it camping, we call it homeless. All right? I am not leaving my apartment to go lay outside, okay? Not as hard as I have to work to keep one, right? But we're here, we're queer, and I'm happy to be here in Los Angeles. That's right. Wow-wee. It's just an exciting thing because I know all of you. You know that as lesbians, we all know each other, don't we? There's really only about 200 of us circulating the planet, isn't it true? It's really true. I work all over this country and people say things like, do you know Jane in Reno? And the worst part is I do. She's my ex-lover's lover. You know, because I think we're the only members of the human race that feel compelled to be friends with our exes. What is that? But butches, I have to love them. You know, sometimes now, you know, the dykettes and dyklings, the little young women, they don't want to give any credit to the butches. You know, I read those ads that say, no smoking, no meat, no butches. Where did that come from? We need our butches. I tell you, I have to have roles. Butches and femmes, I like it, because when I get to a closed door, I want to know who's going to open it. We are, like, so crazy. You know, because I'm, like, over it. Aren't you, like, over it with all these labels and stuff? You know, I go and I do these events, and it's like the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, transsexual. Are there going to be any human beings there? Really? I mean, I'm not prejudiced, but I would like to be around some of my own. You know what I mean? Just some human beings. What do you think? What a concept!
Yes, Human Beings, What a Concept, is the title of the 1998 CD by comedian Karen Williams. You can find a new routine by her on Logo Online. Time to close part three of Those Funny Lesbians. Again, this is J.D. Doyle for Queer Music Heritage, and I hope you check out part four. Yes, there's one more. Because as longtime listeners already know, when I want to share music on a subject, if I've got more to give you, well, I just have no willpower. Ending this part is a group from the 90s I really liked called Your Girlfriend. Between 1989 and 1995, they released three wonderful CDs. But this song is not on any of them. It can only be found on a various artist compilation called Family of Friends from 1993. It includes a lot of great music by women artists and the Your Girlfriend song, Lesbi Bop.